good to continue to bless one another with Christmas greetings and New Year's greetings, to be blessed, to receive blessing, to give blessing is something that we as disciples of Jesus Christ are invited to do. So again, Happy New Year. Part of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is to give God thanks in all things. Okay? The spiritual discipline of giving thanks to God in all things produces dividend in our life. Let me share with you how that works. When we give thanks to God, we remember those things and those people that are important to us. And when we give thanks to God for those people, for those relationships, for the work, for those things that bring us joy and give us fun, then what we do is that we invest more time and energy in those things that we give thanks for. Those relationships that we have. For example, when we give thanks for our sweetheart, for our spouse, then what we do is that we invest more time and energy in that relationship. Amen. When we give God thanks for the work that we have, and I believe God created us for work. Work to provide a living not only for us and for our family, but also for the community and for the people of faith. God created us for fulfillment, for God created us for work. All right? Giving thanks for work. Now, there's all kinds of things that we don't like about work, right? Let's just be honest. You know, there's things that we don't like about our work, okay? But when we give God thanks for those things that we enjoy about our work, then the dividend comes back for us. We are encouraged to give more and to do more for our work. Same thing with our children. We don't harp and ride our children all the time. Hurry up, do this. How come? You know, we don't do that. We not only help them to become better than they are, but we have some fun with our children, right? We do things with our children. We give God thanks for our kids. And I see some of the kids looking at their parents, you know, doing that. But what I see from here is different than what you all see, you know. And that's a good thing, right? When we give God thanks for those things and elements in our life, we invest back into them, right? We invest back into those relationships. I love to go hunting, and I love to go hiking. I love West Texas. I love to go shooting, target practice. I love to do that. And giving God thanks for that, even, allows me to be able to invest more time into doing that, right? I like to do that. Those are blessings. Those are things that return dividend in my life. They give me joy. They give me pleasure. I like to cook for people. I like to entertain. And that, you know, sooner or later, the parsonage will be open for more people. It's taken me a little while to get my balance in that regard. But I like to cook for folks and to do that sort of thing and have done so already and look forward to doing that even more. I give God thanks for that. So that encourages me to do more and to give more. Okay? So it's a biblical discipline, and I want to share five scripture passages in relationship to that. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 reads, "Give thanks in all circumstances," not for all circumstances, "give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Psalm 107, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Ephesians 5:20. "Give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I love that. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching one another all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And the last verse that I want to share with you is my favorite. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. I love that passage. When we give God thanks, when we celebrate the blessings that we have, there is that intentional desire to want to invest more in those. Now, one of my Christmas presents this year was a t-shirt that says, "Best Dog Dad Ever." I love that. And you'll see me wear it. Now, I love my dogs, you know. And I take them out in the morning, and I come back in the afternoon if I'm available. In the evenings, they'll come inside their kennels, and I'll sit, before they go in their kennels, I'll sit on the floor, and we have some dad and dog time together, right? It's a good thing. I just don't buy dog food and give them water, spend time with them, and they give me joy. I'm blessed by that. Beginning next Sunday, we will begin the spiritual discipline of giving thanks. And this is how it's going to work. I know that you saw this in the article, the newsletter, but this is what we're going to do. Beginning next Sunday, you will open up your bulletin in church, and there will be a 2-inch by 3-inch piece of paper, and on that, you will write the names of those people that have blessed your life. I want you to start thinking about that. Parents, teachers, aunts, uncles, family, relationships that you have that bless you, children, okay? People in your life. I'm going to put my dog's names on there because they bless my life. They bring my blood pressure down at the end of the day, right? Okay? Those animals bless my life. So we'll put the names of those things, those people, those relationships that we have that bless our life. And then we're going to put them on a wall in the social hall for people to see as our witness to who are the blessings in our life. Second Sunday, the 20th, what we're going to do is that we're going to lift up those things, okay? Those ministries, those missions, the things that we love about our work, okay? Those things that we love to do that give us joy and pleasure when we go and play. I know that Jess Irwin, one of the things that makes Jess happy is when he's smoking brisket, right? Right, I would not be surprised. I would be surprised if that was not on that, right? Smoking brisket gives me great joy, right? Right? There are things that give you great joy in your life that need to be on that piece of paper. And giving God thanks for those will allow us to invest more time and effort and energy and commitment so that they, in turn, may continue to bless us. And on the last Sunday, the 27th, what we're going to do is something fun. I have a group of friends called the Grace Notes. And they are a group of retired military and their spouses who sing spiritual songs. And they are going to come and perform for us in worship. All right? And we're going to pull out all the stops and roll out the red carpet. We're going to have lots of fun. All right? They're going to sing wonderful songs. They're going to sing for us. We're going to sing along with them. And we are going to put on that piece of paper that's in our bulletin those dreams and hopes and desires for the life and ministry of this church in the community. So, examples of what that might look like is that I foresee us course called the marriage course that is put together by Alpha. I imagine us doing that. And it's a marriage course for people who want to get married, for people who just got married, or people who've been married for 75 years. It's a wonderful course. It's a lot of fun. And it's a blessing, right? Those are ministries that I would like to see in this church. So what we're going to do is that on those three Sundays, people, things that give us joy, and ministries and a wish list that we'd like to see, and what we're going to do with that wish list on the third Sunday is that we're going to give it to council. And if there's one of those that needs to go to a committee, then we'll take a look at that to see how we can employ that dream and that hope in the life and ministry of this church. Okay. Next three Sundays. Be a lot of fun. Not for the sermon. I'm of the belief that if you put yourself out there, God will use you. If you say, God, use me in some capacity, God will call your hand. God will prepare your heart to do that. Forgive me for drinking coffee. It's the cedar on the medication that I take, you know, dries up your mouth, so forgive me for that. Now, I'm going to tell you a story, because I'm a storyteller, and I think you already know this, but I'm going to tell you a story. I used to pastor Helotes Hills United Methodist Church in Helotes, Texas. Was there for 9 years. Had a wonderful ministry there. We built a new sanctuary. It was super big fun. I loved it there. It was a great time. I had great joy. I loved it everywhere I pastored, but that was a special time in my life. And what happened was my back door, I lived next door to the church. Yay. I lived next door to the church on a main thoroughfare. And so I lived in a glass house, which is fine. And so my back door neighbors were Ruby and Jim Beam. And yes, he was related to the very organization that is responsible for. Okay? Jim Beam was his name. I buried him. He died. I buried him. Now, in 1996, Jim Beam's and Ruby Beam's son died of a heart attack. What happened was that I didn't know that a virus could attack any organ in the body, but it can. And a virus attacked his heart, and he was in the intensive care unit for 3 weeks, and he died, leaving a young wife and 3 young children. The youngest was a 5-year-old girl, of which I did her wedding this past summer. Boom. Oh my gosh, it was big fun. She gave me a call. Pastor Peter, this is Allison. Bean, would you do my wedding? I said, sure, honey. Let's get this done. She said, you buried my daddy. I want you to do my wedding. I said, I'm on it. So, what happened was their son died. The whole church and the whole community surrounded around the Beams and helped them through several years of a very difficult time in their life. That summer, Jim Beam comes up to me. He says, Pastor Peter, I know you like to hunt. We have 600 acres of a tobacco farm in Kentucky. I would like for you to go hunt in my son's stead this year. He goes every year in October. He's no longer with us. Would you like to go in his stead? Yeah. Yeah. Let's go. So I invited my friend Craig, and we went in October of 96 to go deer hunting in Kentucky. So we drive to Tompkinsville, Kentucky. Go to a place that was deep into the mountains where I learned new words like holler, right? And there I drove into this holler, and there was a cabin by a creek, and there were 5 men standing shoulder to shoulder, tall men, beards, and they had their overalls and blue overalls, and they had their laced up boots, and they were stone They were looking at me as I drove in. And my friend Craig is in law enforcement. I said, Craig, you got my back? He said, I got your back, buddy. Go ahead. So I go out, and I go, and I start approaching them. And the spokesperson of that group was a man by the name of Raymond Thompson. And Raymond Thompson comes up to me, and he offers out his hand, and he says, you took care of our brother Ruby and our brother Jim and our sister Ruby. Because you took care of them, we will take care of you. You're one of us now. Boom. We were there for 6 days and had a wonderful time. We didn't kill a deer. You know, we saw a deer, but we didn't, you know, they were too far away, didn't have the opportunity, but we didn't get a chance to get one. So they got one for us. Right. It was so much fun. I absolutely loved it. And we became friends. And for several years in a row, I would go over there to visit those people in Tompkinsville, Kentucky. Bear with me. I'm going to go with this story. Okay? Bear with me. One summer, I went over there with my family, and Robert Thompson, Raymond's brother, had all kinds of old farming equipment and buggies and horses. He had large Belgian brownies, right? He had mules and all kinds of animals to exhibit and to even work the farm. He had a mule and a plow that he could hook up and plow the land. And I said, oh, how cool is that? How cool is that? And he said, preacher, you never say no when they ask you to train. He said, preacher, you want to plow? And I said, yes, sir, I'll plow. And so he hooked up the plow and that mule so that I could have the experience of plowing the soil. So what happened is that I put my hands to the plow and put the rein over my right shoulder and under my left armpit. And here I go, plowing. I turned back to ask Robert if I was doing it correctly. To when I did that, the rein pulled to the right and the mule started going to the right. Thus the teaching that Jesus gives us this morning in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Anyone who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. What is Jesus saying? That if you look back on your life with any consistency, it's always good to reflect upon your life. But if you live in the past, then you can't go to the future. If you live in the past, then you can't go to the future. What is this passage really, how does this apply to our life? Well, I want to look at another passage that was read for us by Jim this morning. And it's Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Paul says this. It helps us to understand the Luke passage. Beloved, I did not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press forward toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Boom. So powerful. This is so important for Paul to say. Why? Because Paul was a murderer. Paul murdered Christians. He contributed to the death of the first martyr of the church, Stephen. He hunted Christians like we hunt pigs. Paul was not a bad man. He was an evil man. And an obstruction to the kingdom of God. When God said, and everything came together. If Paul lived in the past, he could not live being the disciple that he was in accomplishing the kingdom of God, which is the future. We just laid aside 2018, and my gosh, what a year! What a year! Years of transitions, years of grief, years of loss, years of challenges. What a year. We can't live in 2018. We live in 2019 then. Straining forward to the prize that is ahead of us. Anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. I invite all of us with a renewed conviction, with a renewed force, with a renewed intention to press forward. Of course, learning the lessons that we have learned from 2018. But we live in 2019 now. And we can't become an obstruction to God's kingdom's work that is before us, not behind us. May it be so not only in the life of the church, but may it be so also in your personal life as we accomplish God's kingdom's work on earth as it is in heaven. May it be so today